until about a minute and a half ago, I had absolutely nothing to talk about. And for some reason, I was looking at Tom, and the talk came. And it's probably the simplest talk there is to give. It may not be a lot to say, but it is basically the practice of what is. And in many ways, I think this whole thing that we're doing here may boil down to it. There is nothing but what is. Okay. That's pretty much it. The recognition of what is can be a relatively elaborate mental process. And a lot of it can come through ego mind. And mostly what that represents is a reaction to what is. Mostly, I like it or I don't like it. Feels good, doesn't feel good. This is terrific. I wish it wouldn't be like this. And then there's huge versions of that, you know, if only it could have been. What if I had done this? Why is this happening to me? All of that stuff starts to get very cloudy around what is. What is, uninterpreted, is just something that is happening. It's a manifesting form. And it just keeps happening until it doesn't. And that's even a projection I don't know anything about. But I know in my experience, since consciousness arose, that it has kept happening. It just keeps happening. And starting very early on, I started to have a reaction to it. And I don't remember my own reaction to it because I was deeply unconscious as a child, as we all are. We have no memory of it. It just happens, and you start to react to it. So I'm learning it now through my grandchildren. I've talked about it a lot, but my grandson, particularly now, who's only almost a year and a half, is beginning to develop an amazing sense of wanting and not wanting. And it used to be, if you put food in front of him, he would go, there would be, and absolutely no sense of restraint. There wasn't like, I'll try this piece. He just took everything that would fit into his mouth and stuck it in and chewed it until there was nothing, and then he would do the same thing again. And now he's going, no. He doesn't even say no, because he doesn't have that word yet. But, and it's a complete reaction against what's emerging. He's really defining a self, a person, in relationship to embracing or rejecting the thing that arises. It starts very early on, and it becomes something that we call an identity. It becomes who we are, that which reacts to, embraces or rejects what's happening. And it becomes very defined, and it becomes very complex and very layered and very deep and convoluted. And after a while, we need a psychiatrist to help understand how it all came together, you know? How did I do this, and why did I choose that? You know, we're all trying to figure it out. We're trying to get to, you know, the core problem of where did all this density come from? And, you know, it's not always very easy to find. And it goes back into layers of memory that we're going to assume just comes out of this lifetime. But who knows? It could be multiples of lifetimes, and then it's even harder. How does a psychiatrist get into that place? So then you go into psychics, and you go into all these other people who can go back in time and tell you, well, 452 lifetimes ago you did this, and it locked in and froze, and it became something that you're still working out now. Whatever it is, it's an enormous obsession with reactivity. Reaction to the what is. And the practice, if there is a practice as such, might be, one, don't react, and good luck with that. And the other is, watch yourself reacting, which in itself is hard. Just watch yourself react to what you do to things. How much you love something or don't love something. How much you get obsessed with it. How much you desire it. How much you fear it. Whatever that is, there's this enormous kind of reacting to what is. And then you can get to a place where you can see yourself doing it. And it's rather interesting. You're exploring the nature of your choices. You're observing how it is that you weave you into place, how you weave your identity and character into something very defined. And you know what it is. I am this kind of person and not that kind of person. I am an introvert or an extrovert. I am a very loving person or I'm a very solitary person. You start to have these ideas of who you are that become endlessly reinforced by everything around you, and it's very locked in and smothering on some level. And it would be very hard for you to believe that you can really free yourself of all that. Most people don't believe it. And if anything, the pain and suffering of it is so great sometimes that rather than trying to unravel it or free yourself from it, you just want to deaden yourself to it. And so we have amazing capacities for deadening and not paying attention, but that doesn't help on any level. It's a short-term fix that actually complicates and increases the problem. The best practice, the best spiritual practice now that I am aware of, and I have to say, it's interesting because it is a practice until it's not. But the practice would be simply observing what happens. Observe what is. And just go, Wow. Dispassionate, uninvolved, not caught by it, or even appreciating it, going, Wow, yeah. Or even kind of loving it. Kind of all day long, but not engaging it. It just is. It just keeps ising all day long. And that thing which is ising, which is happening, is essentially who you are. Doesn't make sense exactly, because you have always been identified with a thing witnessing or interacting with the thing that is happening, but in fact you are the very thing that's happening. But how can that be? How can you be the sun rising in the morning and setting at night? How can you be the planets, the universe, the vastness of time and space? How can you be gravity? How can you be everyone you know? How can you be the stories that are on the news? How can you be the history of the world? How can you be whatever the future might hold? How can you be that? Well, it's a good question. But it's what is. It's what is. Everything that is known to you, everything that you know, is what you are. Everything that you experience is what you are. And the only mistake that's made is that you think there's a you and an it. There's you witnessing what's happening. And the awakening experience, if you want to call it that, is the disappearance of the reactor. The person who goes, not that, maybe this, no, no, no. That thing just goes, whoop. And you're left with the thing that's going on, the thing that is. What is all there is. And it's a very strange, unexpected awareness, because there's nobody really even witnessing it. As much as we're told we're the witness, we're actually the thing itself. We are the manifestation arising out of the unmanifested. The something out of nothing. How is that possible? No answer. No answer. It's the mystery. It's the unknowable unknown. But there it is, and it keeps happening. And whether you plan for it or not, it still happens. You wake up in the morning, I don't care if you have a completely blank slate, which is becoming more and more my experience, stuff fills it, fills the day. Who knows where it's going to come from? I get emails that suddenly give me work to do for a month. You know, I mean, there's stuff that keeps happening. The grandchildren, the needs, the go to the store, go to the cleaners, these things that keep coming up that need to get done, and they're just ultimately strangely fulfilling. I happen to love going to the cleaners. You know, Tina, the woman who works there, is so sweet and so loving to me. You know, hi, Bruce. And we just, there's an exchange, and I don't know why it's so beautiful. And I think I've talked about this, but our cleaners in Redmond, in our last stop, we ended up going out to dinner together and you know, meeting the family. And it was like so sweet. Life fills with the unexpected, and the simple things are rich. They're rich with possibility. And you don't have to program it. You don't have to reach for anything. You just have to wake up, literally, in the morning. You get up and the day happens. It happens. And if nothing happens, which is a rare event, you know, maybe you'll pick up a newspaper or a magazine or sit on the swing downstairs and just watch the world go by. The birds come, you know, and the sun moves and the clouds happen, and it's like, okay, it just keeps happening until it doesn't. And by that I mean, the last week I just had, my brother ended up in the hospital with a strange bone infection, came out of nowhere. It was very debilitating. He couldn't move at all. He couldn't sit up, lie down. I mean, he was in terrible pain. He had intravenous antibiotics 24/7 and so many drugs, it was like unbelievable. I mean, painkillers and, you know, morphine, and I mean, on and on and on. And I knew I had to be there with him. I didn't know why. I just knew that he's my brother. So I had to go fly to LA and be there. And I would go every day and sit with him. And I was in a nursing home at this point because they couldn't keep him in the hospital. And he's had therapy. And I'm surrounded by the part of life that none of us want to look at. The man in the bed next to my brother moaned a lot. He was in great pain. He was 100 and something. And nobody visited him. And he drove my brother crazy because he cried all night long and moaned. And my brother just kind of wished he wouldn't be there. And the next thing you know, he died. And then my brother was all upset because he died. He was upset because he moaned, and then he was upset because he was no longer moaning. And he had to deal with the reality of how simple it was. People were there, not there. So many people were alone. So many people were struggling. So many people were taking advantage of enormous caretaking that was available to them. It was a whole world of suffering and caretaking, suffering and caretaking. And it had a kind of inevitability about it. And it's so interesting because nobody wants to look at it. And it's kind of future, and most of us don't have to look at future, but suddenly there I was in the future. And whose future? Well, partly mine, and my brother's, and partly all of ours. So I didn't have to seek out the future, it just, it came. And it was very clear to me that we're all, you know, we all arrive at this place, and it's very informative. It's very informative because the what is keeps changing and in some ways getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And seeing all these people alone in that space with no one coming to visit, no one, just there. And it can get that small. It may not. We may have, you know, friends and relatives who come, but I can't say you necessarily will want that. You know, you may for a little bit, but you don't. They don't know what to do with you, and you don't know what to do with them. And the awkwardness of it is very powerful. You know, and it was interesting. My sister-in-law was stressing dramatically about what the future holds, and how is she going to be a caretaker for the rest of her life? She immediately projected that he would never get past this thing. And her suffering was so dramatic because clearly she was not in a happy place in that moment. But the idea of making it forever is really painful. But the truth was, there were people coming to help her. She could stay home part of the day. Her brother-in-law was there. Some of his friend, my brother's friends had come in for his birthday, which was happening at the same time. And I really saw how my sister-in-law was creating so much suffering for herself. And that the moment-to-moment thing was amazing. For example, I was always there during dinner time. My plan was to leave when his drugs kicked in, which was like at about 7:20. Yeah, he would just glaze over. And I was always ready to leave, but they would bring these amazing dinners. And they say, would you like one? And I went, sure, thank you. And so I didn't have to go out and take a dinner. They brought these amazingly sweet dinners, and I'd sit with my brother and have dinner, and sometimes my sister-in-law. And the food was great, and my brother was, because he was so drugged, was so happy, and in a basically good mood. And I have to say, the what-isness of it was powerful. And it allowed me, by accepting what is, to be present with my brother in a way I have never been present with him except when he was a little baby. When I realized I was his caretaker at the age of 3 or 4. And that he became my responsibility. He was my responsibility as a child and kind of remains my responsibility. And that thing kicked in for me. Not that I'm truly responsible, but I am psychically responsible. And so I showed up and I was present. And that presence allowed for us to have something we haven't had since we were 5 years old, mm-hmm. 6 years old. Mm-hmm. And it was so beautiful because it was about presence, the eternal presence of what is. And that's the secret of what is. What is isn't just, oh my God, this is happening. I got to accept it. Which is the practice in a way. Oh God, here we go, I got to accept this one. The next thing that happens is you sit with the what is, and then you realize that it is filled with awareness and presence, and it has a beauty in it, and a profundity, and a poignancy, and a joy, and a sadness. It has all of this stuff in it, and you sit with it, and then you just marvel at the truth of being. And the truth of being is right in front of you. It's called what is. So you practice being with what is by just sitting there no matter what and just going, this is what is. And then something happens, which is the part of you that's practicing falls away, which is miraculous and inexplainable, unexplainable. And then you're no longer trying to be with what is, you just are what is. Period. Done. And you just go. And the presence of that just deepens and deepens and deepens. And you discover you are the miracle of all being. You. Not you, the personality, although there is still a touch of that. It's you are what is. You are all that ever can be, will be, should be, was. You are the totality. You are the absolute. That's who you are. You are that. You are that. And the miracle of that is so overwhelming. And you just go, and that's what you live. And who knows what the circumstances will be. You know, there's the old age home, it was really instructive, because clearly it, you know, and we all know this, it doesn't end in any particular comfort zone. You know, it really is not particularly comfortable. But once you start to get into what is, even if you're still in practice mode, the practice of what is so much richer than the denial of it. It's so much more beautiful. And in moments, my brother got into what is, partly through drugs, partly through being present with his brother, and it was very beautiful. And at other moments, no, that was not containable for him. He couldn't do it. My sister-in-law, we had one very real dialogue about all this. And I said, look, you got two choices, accept it or reject it. Done. You can be happy with us, or at peace with what's happening, or at war with it. It's your choice. That's all you've got. You know, it's very simple. You know, I mean, you can leave the guy. You can leave the marriage if you want, but that's not a really good solution, especially not at this juncture. You know, this is hard. It's hard. You're miserable or you're not miserable. Choose to be not miserable. Just choose to do the thing. It's so amazing. I can't tell you. The learning that I'm going through at this point in my life is, it's so sad. It's the old thing. I've talked about it for years. It's Rudy's teaching. If it's in front of you, it's yours. In other words, if there's a dish to be washed in the sink, something in you wants to wash it. It's really fascinating. It used to be I could say, well, Blanche can do that. Or the housekeeper, or somebody else will do it. But that's not how it works. And what starts to happen is an organic kind of wanting to do what's there. Wanting to bring it into harmony, wanting to clean it, wanting to open it, wanting to serve it in some extraordinary way. By showing up to the thing that's happening. It's really remarkable, and it goes on all day long. You just keep being in it. And if nothing comes up, great. Great. But it will. Something will come, because it does. And then you engage that. But if you can realize, as my sister-in-law needed to realize, you can hate it or you can accept it. It's kind of, it just boils down to something that simple. And you can make that choice if you want to. If you don't want to make that choice, it will get made for you, and usually not favorably. You know, unconscious activity, unconscious choice is based on me, mine. It's like that part of my grandson that starts to go yelling at everything he doesn't like. That's kind of where most of us live, yelling at what we don't like. You know, we're all infantile in that regard. There's no practice. It's just going back to default, which is, I only want what I want. And even that gets complicated. What do you really want? And after a while, it's not really a cookie, or it's really not a, you don't know what you want. What you want is something buried in the past, which is a kind of the hug of the universe, if you will. And all I can tell you is, that's available. All you have to do is sit really still, and you start to feel it. It's just there. And it's really beautiful. And that's, you don't have to work at it so much, you just have to be still. You just have to be yourself and watch it happen. And it's so exquisite. And all any of us want, honestly, is to be what is. Trust me, you don't want to be at war with what is manifesting. There's no value in being at war. Or maybe there is. And if there is, then that's what is. If it's to be at war, if you are drowning, you're going to probably fight like mad not to drown, but that's what is. But I, you know, I have this nasal drip that I've had for months now. You know, and I'm sitting here in class, and at one point I'm drowning. And I go, well, you can stop teaching. You can blow your nose. You can, there's a million things that suddenly came up as choices. And I said, nah, just accept it. And the minute I accepted it, it was not an issue. I was, you know, stuff's going down, and, you know, I'm gagging internally, but I'm just going, okay. It's not the worst thing ever. I somehow, there's still something going on. I'm still alive, you know. And so it's really interesting. The acceptance of what is deeply satisfying. It's deeply calming. It's deeply relaxing. And you get out of your own way and you start to really enjoy your life. And your life is not your personal life. It is, you know, the sun coming up and the stars coming out. And you look up in the sky tonight, you know, and Venus and Jupiter are just like next to each other. That's, I mean, you look up at the sky and you go, well, that's really incredible. And the moon is full, and, or was. And you, it's all like, it's just endlessly remarkable. So, as I said to you guys at introductory class, I can get long-winded. You know, I'm not saying anything new. I'm just trying to get one point across. You know, the ultimate practice and the ultimate realization is what is. Everything else is you fighting that. You don't have to do that. You can make a conscious choice not to do it, but it requires consciousness. It requires you seeing yourself doing that thing. And most of us are blind to that. Most of us react organically, you know, out of instinct to everything that happens, and that reaction continually defines our life, and it even in the worst of circumstances creates karma, which means you're going to have circumstances that now have to be unwoven somewhere along the way because you yelled at somebody or you killed somebody or you did something that creates huge disturbance in the system. Then you got to get past that. I mean, the truth is you can awaken even to that and you accept what is, but you may be accepting what is in prison, you know, or living in a prison of relationship, you know, where you just haven't been able to figure out how to just be what is. Being what is transforms everything. So, rather than elaborate this any further, I'll ask you if you have any questions, and if not, I think the point is made. Any questions? It's really that simple.
Point is made.
Okay. Well, I think that might be the end. Thank you.